70 years ago tomorrow, on August 6, 1945, a bomb was dropped that terrified the world with deadly capabilities that had been thought unimaginable. Today, we share our world with thousands of such weapons and a never-ending anxiety about them. For most of us, that's just too much to contemplate. Others just don't know. Both attitudes are a concern for David Krieger, founder and president of the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation. He's speaking on Maui tomorrow to mark the Hiroshima bomb anniversary, and he's on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Chris.
There really was a world before that day and a world after, and they're completely two different worlds, aren't they?
I believe so. The Hiroshima bomb introduced the world to what nuclear weapons were capable of, and of course that's a rather small bomb by today's standards, and at the time there were two of those bombs in the world, and today there are over 15,000 of them.
Any of them with the same capability as the Hiroshima
bomb?
Well,
many with the same capabilities, but many with more powerful capabilities as well.
At least the same capability, yeah.
Right.
Well, where does that leave us?
It leaves us needing to stand up and speak out for the abolition of these weapons. Requires us to do something that perhaps has never been done before, and that is take a weapon system, make it illegal, ban it, and eliminate it. That's our challenge in the nuclear age.
And rely on our humanity to understand the necessity of that. That's where
absolutely.
It gets. That's where it gets tricky, David. Doesn't
well, there's so much complacency around the issue of nuclear weapons that's something that requires a lot of education and a lot of advocacy. And our group, the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation, is engaged in that advocacy and education every day throughout the year. And there are many other groups, including the Peace Action Group on Maui, that work for that end as well.
Well, David, let me just take you back to the time after the bomb when we had the so-called nuclear arms race, based on the notion that if we had weapons more terrifying than anyone else's, that would have a deterrent effect, right? That it was a kind of a balance of power. And there'd been, historically, there'd been a search for an ultimate weapon that would just sort of the doomsday weapon that would just shock the world so much that we abandoned the whole notion of that kind of destructive weaponry. Is that a flawed construct?
I think it's a very flawed concept. Nuclear deterrence is based on a psychological or communications theory that if you threaten to do something, someone else won't do something to you that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's entirely psychological. It requires all leaders to be rational at all times, and we know that's not the case. And we certainly know that should terrorists ever get their hands on nuclear weapons, they would not be deterred by threat of retaliation because they have no place to retaliate against, and also terrorists might be suicidal. So
rules of warfare, so-called, don't apply. Right?
I'm sorry.
Rules of warfare, as they were previously conceived, don't apply.
You know, It's a very ironic coincidence that we dropped the bomb on Hiroshima on August 6th, we dropped another atomic bomb on Nagasaki on August 9th, and in between those two bombs, the United States signed the charter to hold the leaders of the Nazi and Axis power leaders in World War II to account for war crimes, crimes against humanity, and crimes against peace. And we did hold them to account for those crimes, but we never applied the same rules to ourselves. And certainly using nuclear weapons on civilian targets or on targets that can't be kept from including civilians is a war crime and a crime against humanity. So the legal rules still apply. The International Court of Justice has spoken out on the issue. The legal rules still apply, but they're not being adhered to by the United States and the other 8 nuclear-armed countries in the world.
Well, that's an excellent example of history being written by the victors and the rules being made by the victors.
Exactly, but it's not to the advantage of the victors that they haven't applied those rules to themselves. I mean, every day we live with the threat of the possibility of nuclear weapons use, which would be catastrophic and could destroy civilization, if not the human species, and most other complex forms of life. So it's not something people should be complacent about. And actually, a very interesting lawsuit that's going on now has been initiated by the Marshall Islands, very small country, 70,000 people, but they've initiated, and the Marshall Islands was a testing ground for nuclear weapons at the beginning of the nuclear age from 1946 to 1958. The U.S. dropped 67 powerful nuclear weapons in the Marshall Islands.
And got a lot of people's...
The equivalent power of 1.6 Hiroshima bombs daily for 12 years. But the Marshall Islands is suing all of the nuclear-armed countries on the grounds that they're not keeping their obligations under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty and customary international law to end the nuclear arms race at an early date and to engage in negotiations in good faith for nuclear disarmament.
Well, any pathway that offers some hope of that is something to keep abreast of. David, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Chris.
My pleasure. David Krieger is the founder and president of the Nuclear Age Peace Foundation. He'll be speaking at this year's annual Hiroshima-Nagasaki Remembrance Program tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the University of Hawaii Maui College in the Pilina Building Multipurpose Room. The event is free and open to the public, commemorates the 70th anniversary of the atomic bombing of 2 cities in Japan. The slide talk is called The Nuclear Age at 70, The Human Heart and Nuclear Weapons. And you can learn about it on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.